The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Do you not want to wait? Neither do we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jessica, I can't be any better because a long-time hypothesis of ours was proven to be true for this episode, and nothing can be better than being proved that you're right, right?
What?
You have no clue what I'm talking about.
What did we prove?
It's official that...
Oh, that Dawson sucks at making movies?
No, that's not what I was going to say.
I thought that's what we predicted. Say, we're like, Dawson actually sucks.
I mean, he does, but it's officially in the Dawson's Creek canon that Dawson is a Pisces being born on March 14th, 1983. I feel as though this is the main, like, news to come out of this episode.
When does he mention his birthday? I don't even remember.
So Nikki says, what's your date of birth? And he goes, 3/14/83, March.
We were
14th,
right.
I mean, 1983.
We've been new, right? Like, we've been new. We knew he was a Pisces
I know,
the
but,
whole time.
Like, it's like, canon
it's
now.
Yeah, it's
so
written
it's
into
exciting.
The show.
I mean, obviously it wasn't as exciting for you, but it's exciting for me.
It was exciting, but like we talked about this earlier in the week, so I forgot that this was like a revelation.
I mean, we talked about it like 2 weeks ago when I actually watched this podcast.
Watched the podcast, yeah.
It's been a minute,
yeah, because I went on vacation. You all didn't notice a difference because we still put out a podcast as usual. But yeah, and then I came back, and then it was funny because I was like, wait a minute, did I watch this week's episode yet? And I had the realization last night that I hadn't yet, and then I got really excited because I was like, oh shit, I still get a new episode of Dawson's Creek this week. Very exciting stuff.
I mean, nothing could be more exciting than that, that's for sure.
Yeah, so today we're covering season 3, episode 10, First Encounters of the Close Kind. Now, I feel like I remember you messaging me and saying you really liked this episode, like right after you watched it.
I do. Okay. I really do like this episode. This is like my favorite episode of the season.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I still like the witch episode better, I think. But we'll get into it.
Yeah.
So let's jump right in, because this is a, I like that this episode is like, okay, we're going to take four characters and go on a journey with them. Like, I like that aspect of this episode a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I think, I mean, I don't know if it's our first episode without Pacey and Jen ever. I don't remember them.
There can't be very many of them for sure. Yeah,
I don't remember them missing before, but we got Andy, Jack, Joey and Dawson as our people that we follow throughout their journey. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I thought it was exciting. We open up and we have Dawson watching his Witch Island movie, like,
can
on
we
repeat.
Just like this guy, tell me, okay, so wait, who has Dawson? Is it me or
I
you?
I have Dawson.
Okay, you must have gotten buku points this episode for the number of times that, like, his movie is referenced, or, like him watching his own movie. Dawson, how narcissistic actually are you, though? Come on now.
I know.
Did you find this ridiculous?
I mean, he loves his movie, but he says that it's because he wants to make sure that he has it, like, memorized for the question and answer segment. I don't know. Like, I mean, as somebody that makes content, it depends on how much I'm feeling myself. Like, if I'm like, oh, this episode was particularly funny, like, of course I'll listen. And then there's some days where I'm like, I'm extremely insufferable and I say, you know, too many times, and I want to, like, rip my ears off listening to me.
Oh, so, I've never noticed you saying, you know.
Well, now y'all do. Now all of you will notice.
Yeah, now I'm going to notice it.
Yeah, so I think that it's not out of the realm of possibility that Dawson would watch his movie over and over again.
How many obviously times do you he's think he's seen himself. It? Like, how many times do you
600.
Think
600.
Oh, my God, so many.
I think that I think that it's strange that this is the movie that he's promoting.
You think that his first movie's better? Or you think, like, the Joey movie's better?
Because
he's had three films. He's
three
had,
films
like,
that
the
are
scary
flops.
One. He's yeah. had the Blair Witch Project one. And he's had the mm-hmm. Joey one. I feel like the Joey one is the best one, probably.
No. Nicole ripped it to shreds, so he thinks that it sucks.
I mean, to be fair, a whole crowd of people rips this one to shreds.
I kind of love the fact that it's also canon, you're right, that Dawson sucks at making movies. Like, he has this dream that yeah. he's just not good at. And I feel like that's very realistic.
Oh, very relatable. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, like, not everybody is good at everything.
Yeah. So, and then I can't wait yeah. to get into this, because this whole episode is prime let's shit on Dawson content, I think. So I can't wait to get into that.
But he, in my opinion, he's not that annoying. So
oh, we'll get into it, because I disagree. I
don't, so Joey comes in and she's roasting Dawson about how many times that he's watching the yes. movie. I think that was great. And they talk about how he's nervous to do the film festival. This is like, I don't know, the Cambridge Film Festival.
Didn't they say Sundance?
She said it's not Sundance.
Oh, I was, because I literally wrote in my notes, he's going to Sundance?
No,
with, like,
no,
exclamation
Joey,
points and stuff,
Joey says
and I was
it's
like,
not
fuck?
Sundance. It's
that
just the
sense.
Cambridge Film Festival.
Okay, so yeah, so his whole concern is that he's used to being a big fish in a small pond, and now he's going to be the small fish in the big pond at this film festival.
I would say that he's like the ugly fish with one wing, one like fin in a small
so
pond. Yeah. And it's like, oh, like that guy, like everybody feels like kind of bad for him. So they're like, oh, like let's give him an extra shrimp, like because he needs it. But
yeah,
I wouldn't say that he's a big fish in a small pond.
No, not at all. But, like, Joey is, like, ultimate hype man all episode long, where she's just like, listen, it's really good. I've seen it a million times. Like, you're one step closer to realizing your dreams. And then we find out that she's going with him. And they never – okay, correct me if I'm wrong. They never actually say the name of the college they're visiting.
They do not, but it's quite obvious what's supposed to be. based off of some context clues.
Right. So we know it's in Cambridge, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a few, like, Boston schools.
To me, it's clear that they're going to Harvard.
Yeah, I figured as much. Especially because Andy's going, and, like, Andy is a girl who has Ivy League.
I have one article of proof that we'll get into in a little bit.
So we find out the reason Joey is going, apparently it's the same weekend, is because she is going on a college tour. And she's also very nervous about it. She says, like, you know, this trip gives her hope that, like, it's not just a pipe dream that she'll be able to get out of Cape Side. And Dawson is looking at this weekend as, like, an adventure. So we're going on an adventure, and it ends up being all four of them. So Joey, Dawson, Andy, and Jack. Mm-hmm. And then, like, automatically, boom, college campus. We didn't even get, like, a cute little road trip montage.
Oh, we don't need that.
I know, but
it's just gonna be Dawson in the car, like, blabbing about his movie.
You're for right.
An hour and a half.
No one wants to listen to that.
Insufferable. In fact, as we open up to the college campus, Dawson is blabbering about nothing. I don't even know. I didn't even listen.
He says something about some guy from Close Encounters. I don't know.
Andy is very excited to be there, and she knows all these facts. So now this is where my proof is that it's Harvard.
Here we go. Okay.
So she says that the university that they're currently at was established in 1636. Harvard University was established in 1626. Mm-hmm. Can't say the exact year because then it will be, like, too obvious that you're, like, pointing to Harvard. Yeah. And then she talks about how it was, like, I don't know. Brought, like, taught by, like, colonial men or Quakers or whatever.
Yeah.
Also a nod to Harvard. So I'm pretty confident that they're at Harvard University. Of course, they talk about how it's a prestigious university. The college campus itself is very Harvard-esque. They are at Harvard.
Yes.
Without a doubt. Yes. Joey, I don't know if Joey has a chance of getting to Harvard.
To be honest, do any of them have a chance?
Andy, maybe.
We don't know why Jack is there, to be honest. He's just, like, tagging along.
He's there for the funsies.
Yeah.
So, I don't even think Jack's thinking about college.
He's not, no.
I'm starting to feel like Jack is the younger brother.
No, he's older. We know he's older.
I don't think so. He definitely is.
But I feel like a lot of times they play it like he's the same age. You know what I mean?
Maybe if they're twins, no, then they're I'm going to be...
They're not.
Are you sure?
I will look it up right now. Talk us through the next part of this.
So she's so excited. She sounds like the catalog, and Jack says it is the catalog. She's memorized it since she was 9 years old. And Andy's like, class of 2000, early admissions, baby. Going to ace this interview. So she's planning on going to the dean and having an interview. While Joey has to go meet this random person, this random roommate for the weekend, and she's, like, kind of nervous about it, and Andy's like, you're gonna have a blast. I did this last year as a sophomore. And they're like, why did you do this? And she's like, early bird gets to college.
Yeah, what a wackadoo. She's just like, oh, this seems like a great idea when I'm a sophomore. She really is a go-getter, that Andy.
Oh, man. Andy, this episode. Driven. Oh, so good.
She's driven. And so I, like, looked it up.
Yeah.
Here's the sitch. So they're not twins. Apparently, when they wrote Jack, they wanted him to be older. So they had Jack be 17 and Andy be 16. Then they realized that they're like, well, we want them to be included more in storylines together. So even though they're a year apart, they're technically in the same grade.
Okay. Irish twins?
I guess so. So they're not twin twins. They're Irish twins.
There we go.
But yeah, Andy is, like, very, very driven. She has this whole interview. She says she's going to ace it. We find out Joey has a roommate named AJ. And everyone parts ways. Everyone goes their own separate direction.
They all have their own thing. I loved this shot because it was at a cross.
Yeah.
And you see them split up in their own separate sections. Yes. Spectacular shot. I loved it. I think it's like when I watch college shows, I'm feeling my oats. Like, I'm like, this is
you really
so
do love
fun.
A college show.
I love college shows. So, like, the fact that they were on college campus, I was loving it. I was like, this is so fun. Like, oh my gosh. Like, they're splitting up. They have different things to do. It was super fun for me. Oh my God, I just love this episode. I'm so excited to talk about some things.
Apparently.
Oh, I'm in a great mood. I want you to be on my level.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be, but I have some issues with this episode that we will get into.
Dawson's signing in for his film festival.
Yes. So I love that we get the introduction of who we later find out is named Nikki. And she is like, she gets immediately annoyed with Dawson because his favorite director is Spielberg.
Yeah. She's giving off very like Devin vibes.
Yeah. She's like, ugh, where's the edge though? And he's like, edge is fleeting. Heart lasts forever. Gag me with a spoon, Dawson. Like, enough. So she wishes it. I love her wishing him good luck because the way she says it is so savage. She's just like, good luck.
Okay. Yeah, she's like, you're screwed. Yeah. She even asks if it's a comedy or a drama. It's neither. She asks if, like, where's your synopsis? He goes, there is none. It's too much to write down.
And then she basically sums it up as like, oh, it's another Blair Witch ripoff. Okay, great. Goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this actress is what they call in the biz as like a vampire actress. Like, we talk about like Paul Rudd.
Okay.
Being like timeless. This girl's timeless.
Oh, like she
played
age?
A teenager in 3 different decades.
Oh, what?
Yes, she did.
Wild.
Yes, she did.
Oh, my gosh. What is her name? Say it again. Did you say it already?
I did not. Bianca Lawson.
Okay.
Bianca. Interesting. And, by the way, she is Beyonce's, like, stepsister.
Oh, amazing. Bitch. She's famous.
I know. So, she played, she was in Sister.
Okay.
In the 90s. And obviously she was in this show in the 90s. So as a teenager.
Yeah.
In the 2000s, she was in The Secret Life of an American Teenager. Then that's like 2009. In 2010, she was in Pretty Little Liars and was a teenager. Vampire Diaries, Witches of the East End. She plays a teenager in 3 decades. She is ageless.
She just does not age.
She doesn't age. She's like Paul Rudd. She's doing whatever Paul Rudd's doing.
Yeah, she has a very good skincare routine is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I loved her right off the bat. I love her energy. I love how she has no fucking time for Dawson. Always makes me very happy when that happens. And obviously, I think you probably could tell, like, oh, we're going to get more of this girl in this episode. Because, like, there's no way it's just, like, a one-and-done situation.
Well, I mean, if you're going to bring this girl in, no. So, we see her throughout. Meanwhile, Joey has arrived at the dorms. And I love a dorm situation.
You really love a college story.
I do. I really, really do. She arrives at room 381 and she opens the door and she sees this guy sitting on his bed, I think, an iBook computer.
You were already standing the minute that door opened.
Yes, the blue iBook computer, not orange, a la Elle from Legally Blonde.
Yes.
But the blue. The blue iBook.
Did they only have the 2 colors back in the day?
Yes.
Okay.
Only 2 colors, blue and orange. And she's like, I'm looking for AJ Mueller. And she's like, where can I find her? And he's like, oh, you can't find her. Oh, yeah. I thought was her room.
Did you immediately know what was going on, like, the minute she opens the door?
That's, like,
you're like,
so
this
typical.
Is the hook. He's a guy.
Yeah, like, didn't they do this in, like, American Pie also?
This has been done in everything. This has been done everywhere at all times, always. It's always
like,
happening.
If you have, like, a gender-fluid name, there's going to be a mix-up, and it's always with, like, an attractive guy. And an attractive girl, and it's like, oh no, what are they gonna do?
They're gonna fall in love.
So we get them. AJ is very snippy.
This is the thing, okay? Here is where I'm gonna get annoyed. AJ is a fucking asshole. AJ
in this
sucks.
In the Eventually.
He starts
I
off,
have a turning point.
Yes, of course he has a turning point. But, like, in my opinion, just because you start to like a girl doesn't mean then you decide not to be an asshole. You should not be an asshole from the very start. You know she thinks you're AJ and you're supposed to be a woman. Just come out and say it. I'm AJ. There must have been a mix-up. No, instead he's like, excuse me, I have to write this paper, so you're going to have to, like, get the fuck out of here for, like, an hour or so and occupy yourself.
Yeah, kicked out.
Yeah, he's being a real
dick. He was supposed
to
do a college tour. If it was a guy, would he have done that?
That's the thing. And he's just like, oh, well, this is college, you know, when women cohabitating, blah, 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 blah. He acts very, like, uppity
douchey.
And very like, oh, you're such a kid. Like, he talks down to Joey so much, and it's really frustrating because he has no idea what the fuck her life is like. And so I feel like he shouldn't automatically start off on this foot with her.
Yeah, it's definitely not a great foot to start off on. Mm-hmm. He, you know, it's between being a woman, being in high school. He's just a automatic douche to her, and he kicks her out. And that's that. She has to go find something. And she can't even say that's not fair, because that shows her immaturity, evidently.
I need to know how you felt about him constantly calling her Potter, Joseph. What were your thoughts on this?
It was zesty.
It was like his thing.
Like, if Pacey did it, then we'd be like, oh my God, that's so funny. It's just
fair.
You know what I mean?
That's so absolutely true.
It's not even that much different from anything
not.
That Pacey
I
does.
I think it was just, like, on top of the other shit he was doing, I was, like, getting irritated.
Yeah,
with
you were over him. I was not over him.
Yeah, I was done with him immediately. But then we're with Andy, who finds Jack by the fountain. We find out that we knew they're in Boston, or like Cambridge, you know. So she's like, oh, well, why don't you go visit this art museum? Like, if you need to do something, go visit, you know, go spend time doing something fun. And she's like, okay, gotta go, bye. Like, she's immediately like, busy bee, Andy. This is why I'm really happy that, like, they got a new showrunner, because to me, Andy feels like Andy again.
Andy,
like, in this episode, she was so Andy, right?
I love Andy in this episode. My favorite storyline in this episode is following Andy and meeting Fran Boyd. I loved this storyline, so I'm really, really excited to talk about it. As Andy's saying goodbye to Jack, we see Jack is reading from the pink pages.
Yeah, the pink pages. Yep.
We heard about the pink pages previously. I honestly don't know if this is an actual thing.
I'm gonna look it up, because I had the same question. I'm looking this up right now. It says in the name of a list which gives the addresses and phone numbers of businesses and services that are of particular interest to men and women who are gay. Yeah, so it's an actual thing.
So it's probably a really good resource to find a safe place.
Oh, 100%.
For people of the LGBT community,
especially
can go
back
to.
Then. Yeah.
Especially back then. All right, that's spectacular. So Andy went to the dean's office, and she tries to get a meeting, but turns out she doesn't have a meeting. She has a meeting in, like, a few months from then, in March.
I love her attitude about this. Oh, she's like, well, like, they say that, you know, they always say to be early. Like, early.
Yeah. And this woman, I guess the dean's secretary.
Love her.
I love her. She is, you know, she's like, there's something either wrong with my calendar, or you have a very long wait ahead of you. And Andy tries to smooth her way to get in a meeting.
I love Andy schmoozing. It's very fun.
And basically, Fran Boyd is like, would you cancel your interview for Harvard? No, I don't think so. There's no chance.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved this. I love Andy thinking that she's going to get out her way. Like, she even, like, talks about her dad is an alumnus. She just wants 5 minutes. But she gets turned away. And we think that's the end of it, but it's not. We'll be back with this lady later.
Of course it's not the end of it. Like,
well, did
Andy's
you think
gonna
she was actually
going to
get a meeting?
You know what it was? I thought that maybe Fran was, like, secretly the dean.
I thought that too. For like a hot second, I thought maybe she was the dean, or I thought she was going to give her the hookup, you know?
Yeah, I was hoping that she would be the dean.
Yeah, but unfortunately, not the dean. So then we're back with Dawson. So he is like in this movie theater, whatever. He's watching people watch his movie. No one seems to like it. They're all like, oh, been there, seen that. No one claps, and he just like sinks in his chair, and it makes it so much worse when the guy's like, oh, Mr. Leary, Dawson Leary, aren't you supposed to be answering questions? And he finally comes to the front.
So embarrassing. And he didn't even want to go up, and Dawson's a very proud person, so to be embarrassed of his art is not great. Brutal. And we've seen him being critiqued before, and he's like a little bitch about it.
He can't handle criticism. My main issue with Dawson this episode is how petty and annoying he is.
Well, but it is realistic. To Nikki, yeah. Yeah. So he goes up, and the mic squeaks, and everybody like laughs at him. And he's like, is there any questions? And the only question is, this woman asks if the Joey chick is here because she's hot.
Yeah, which, like, come on, people. Like, that is not a cool thing to say. Like, even if you don't have any questions, I think it's better than asking that. But he's, like, you know, he's really upset. And then storms off. Yeah, we get Nikki following him. She asks if he's okay. She says at least nobody threw anything. And she like lays into him immediately. She's like, I don't know what you were thinking doing another Blair Witch project. We find out her name is Nikki Green, which should, like, did it ring any alarm bells for you?
It didn't. Yeah. It didn't
for me either.
It didn't until the end. And when I say I flip the fuck out, I tell you I flip the fuck out. But no, of course I didn't reach it. I feel as though, like, Dawson is going to get a very gross complex about women with the fact that only women have critiqued his films.
Oh, it hasn't ever been a man doing it.
Yep. Between Devin, Nicole Kennedy, and Nikki, I feel as though he's going to have this gross complex about women. In reality, like, typically that's what happens. So I don't love, I wish that they would have like somebody else critique a man as well.
It's not something I had noticed, but it is a good point. And he immediately gets like very snippy with her. He's like, who the hell even are you? And Nikki is like, I don't understand. Who is Joey? What does she mean to you? That was the most interesting part of the story.
We agree.
And like you, yeah, exactly. And like you didn't even dive into that portion of it. And so like he is being really snippy with her because we know he can't handle critique. This is nothing new, right? Like, granted, I think that her critiques, Nikki's critiques of him are not as like rude as what's her face's fucking top bun, whatever the fuck that chick's name was, Nicole that the Kennedy? Dad was dating. Nicole. Well,
she was like, oh, it's like uninspired, but that essentially Nikki was saying the exact same things that
but I
Mrs.
think
Kennedy
the way
saying.
She said it was a little bit nicer.
Yes, but also she was trying to be nice, but also Dawson probably took it as condescending. So,
yeah,
he felt
because he thought it was just like patronized. He thought she was just some like random girl at the front desk. Like,
he didn't realize that she was a filmmaker as well. But I don't know. She was trying to help, but I don't think that Dawson wants help. He just wants compliments.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. So they like that's the end of that. And then we see Jack getting on a bus. But in front of him, he sees like a gay couple get on in front of him, and he like can't help but look at them while he's riding the bus. And I don't know, like, what did you think was going through Jack's mind here?
I think that in Capeside, he's the novelty, right? He's the only gay person that he knows in Capeside.
Right.
And to go to a city like Boston or any city, to go to the city and see an openly gay couple hold hands and be together, I think that he was thinking about like what the possibilities could be if he didn't live in this little bumblefuck town. Like,
yeah.
Or even being surprised seeing a couple that was so bold to hold hands in public, getting onto a bus and not fearing for who they are and what they believe in and who they love. So I think that it was you know, we were watching it and it wasn't clear how, if Jack was taking this as a good thing or a bad thing. But I do think that it's something that he doesn't get to see every day.
I think so, too. I felt like it was more of a like, whoa, like that was more of like what his reaction was. Like he couldn't believe what his eyes were seeing, basically. Mm-hmm. And then we move back to Joey, who's meeting up with Dawson. She asks how the screening went, and he's like, it was an unmitigated disaster. He's so fucking dramatic. Sarah, do connect with Dawson here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just in his feels. He's just sulking. And Joey tries. She says, like, oh, what do those film rats know anyway? And he goes, maybe they're right.
Oh, my God. He's so dramatic.
I've been thinking that maybe the problem is having such a big dream is, but he's like, but maybe the bigger issues that you is when you don't have the talent to back it up. So basically, yeah, like, oh, my gosh, I can relate to this. Like, sometimes if you feel like you're not, like, perfect at something, then it's kind of like, then why do you even try? If you're not the best, then why do you even try? Like, if you're not the best.
The thing that drives me crazy, though, about Dawson is that it's so obvious that all he wants is for someone to be like, oh, you're so good, Dawson. You're so talented. Like, that's all he wants. He's just, like, fishing for compliments.
Yeah.
And if I was Joey, I just wouldn't give them to
him. Well, I mean, yeah, you would because, like, you're nasty ass, like... so rude, but it's like,
well, because
you
know, he's so annoying about it. He didn't ask her how her fucking day was going. Immediately it's like, oh, woe is me.
Okay, but she found him sulking on the bench.
Of course, you know what I mean? That's all he ever does.
If she didn't want to deal with it, then she didn't have to go greet him at the bench. That was his sulking bench. That was his crying bench. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't want to come into my crying bench, then don't sit down with me on my crying bench. Let me cry.
I guess the thing is like, because Joey will mention it later when she's hanging out with AJ. She's like, yeah, the last couple years have revolved around a guy. And it's like, yeah, Joey, they have. Like, and at a certain point, that's on you. Like, at a certain point, pull back. Don't fuck around with Dawson's shenanigans, you know? But, like, it's infuriating to me that, like, every 5 seconds, it's Joey coddling Dawson because he's having this big drama fest. Oh, I have no talent. And then she has to go on this whole spiel about, oh, I've been here the whole time. And, oh, you're taking your dream and you're making it a reality. And I'm so proud of you. And it's, like, she's very nice. Like, she's not much nicer than I would have been. Like... it's just, she's really nice about the whole thing, but at a certain time, it's just like, how many more times are we going to hear the same spiel, you know?
He's having a crisis. He's starting to realize that the last 3 movies that he made are like a freaking flop.
Yeah.
And he's what happens?
Oh, shit, I have no talent.
No, but like, honestly, like, what happens, like, if you're in this universe and if you want something so much, but you're just no good at it, then, like, what are you supposed to do? There's probably plenty of people that really want to be singers that suck at singing. That sucks. Like, that sucks. Like, that's your dream. Like, it just stinks. I don't know.
I mean, it's fair. Like, it does suck, but... it's just then we get that whole thing of like her being like, oh, I'm proud of you, blah, blah, blah. And then, OK, then we flash to Andy. It's like she doesn't even get to say how her fucking day is going. But, you know, whatever. Over to Andy. She is. I love this. Andy fucking coerces the janitor into letting her in this woman's office.
I wish we could have seen that scene.
I feel like that scene would have been so fun.
Yeah, like, I'm sure it was very easy for Andy to manipulate the janitor to let
easily.
Them in.
Because not only that, and then she brings, say what her name is again. Is it Fran?
Fran Boyd.
Fran. She brings Fran a dessert, which, like, yes, Andy, you go, girl. You bribe people. And we find out that the dean is apparently a late luncher. And we find a lot more about Fran. She has 7 children. And I love this speech that she gives to Andy. She says, I have 7 kids. None of them went here. 2 of them are doctors. 1 is an investment banker. three of them are married. I didn't really like that part because it's like, oh, three of the girls are married.
Ugh, yeah.
Great. That's their biggest accomplishment. Anyway, one plays horn in a jazz band. And she says, going to this school doesn't determine everything. Mm-hmm. She's like, guess which one is probably the happiest? You know,
well, she
like,
says, guess which one is the happiest. Yeah. And it's the one that plays the jazz in the, yeah. the in the thing. In the band. So going to a distinguished university will have little or nothing to do with what kind of person you turn out to be or whether you find fulfillment in your life. And I think this is stuff that Andy needs to hear. I think it's something that overly ambitious people need to hear. Like, of course, having this dream of going to this big university is great, but it's not going to determine where determines where you go in life.
It does and it doesn't. Like, you can still, it depends on what you want to be, right? Like, I don't think, do we know what Andy has her sights set on? Has she said like pre-law or something? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I mean, I think, like, here's the thing. Like, if you know for a fact you want to do whatever your job is and you want to go to the college that has a, the best program for that thing, like, yeah, maybe it helps a little bit. But, like, the college you go to does not determine the rest of your life, which is, I think, the point this woman is trying to make, you know?
Right.
And I love her for it. I think, like, a lot of kids need to hear this. A lot of teenagers need to hear this. And I mean, we'll get into it more, but I love freaking Fran. She's great.
Fran's great. So we have Joey sitting in on a class, an English class, yes. And AJ comes in, and he's a TA because the professor is like is not there, and this is going to be a discussion session. And as there are potential incoming freshmen, high schoolers sitting in there, he yeah. says, let's see what these high schoolers deem as great books. And he goes to Joey and he goes, Joey, what's your favorite book? And this is Joey such a says Joey says Little Women by Louise May Alcott, and she's loved it ever since she was 10 or so.
Yeah. And he immediately, like, goes to the rest of the class, and he basically is like, well, it's a less successful version of Jane Eyre. He makes fun of, like, Joe being a boy's name, and, like, he says it's not a great book. And, like, a lot of the women in the class are like, oh, well, it's anti-feminist because it only talks about Joe and how she gets married and pops out babies. And AJ concludes that we can't say a book is great simply because we identify with the hero or heroine. Like, he's straight up just torturing her in a public setting.
He's being a dick.
He's being a complete dick to her, and it is infuriating to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't even know why, like, what his point is, unless it's just the fact that he doesn't like the fact that there's these high schoolers running around.
Yeah, but it's like, then why the fuck did you sign up to, like, do this?
I know. Ugh. It doesn't make sense. No, I was curious, you were a English major. Like,
I was.
What is your favorite book?
It's really hard to say. Like, I think The Glass Castle is probably my favorite book.
It's a good book.
It's really good. I think that, like, the characters in it are wonderful. I just think, like, it's such a solid book all around. I really like novels. I'm not much for, like, nonfiction. But, like, it's hard. It's like anything, right? It's hard to say your favorite song or your favorite show or your favorite movie. Like, that stuff, I think, changes so much. And it changes so much with how you age, right? For, like, a high school girl to say her favorite book is Little Women, or, like, he asks what is a great book, right? Or what is her favorite book? Because I feel like those can have two different answers.
What is a great book?
Yeah, what book she considers great.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I just think he's setting her up for failure. Like, she's so young. To me, it's not mm-hmm. far-fetched for her to say Little Women is her favorite, especially when we get the explanation later.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me. I love The Time Traveler's Wife. Have you ever read that book?
I have.
It's a great book.
I remember watching. Did I watch the movie? No,
the movie is not as good as the book.
No, what I was thinking of is I remember finishing that book and mm-hmm. being, like, devastated.
Yeah, it's one of those books that puts you in a funk.
it put me in a funk. Like, I can, that book and the movie, what's the one, gosh, is it Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling, and they get divorced, and it's like basically the whole story, something Valentine?
Blue Valentine.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That movie made that put me you in a so funk. Fucking depressed.
Is Michelle Williams in that movie?
Blue Valentine. I'm looking this up
right now. Also, two other books, Gone Girl. I know, like, it's a basic book, but when I read it before I watched the movie, that was like the biggest mind-blowing book I read. Yeah. Also, the Pretty Little Liars series is, yeah. Okay, don't make fun of me.
No, I read it all too. I've been there.
It is, in my opinion, I think it's like the best.
The reason I was giggling ever. Is because the show got the show so
is cracked out.
That's what I'm. That was why I was laughing.
Are phenomenal, and yeah. The twist in the books, especially not the first twist, the second twist. Crazy.
Yeah, no, I am right there with you. I completely agree on that front. I think it, like, I just don't like how he judges her for what book she
we're going
likes.
Back to Little Women. Who's in Blue Valentine? Did you figure it
oh,
out?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. It is Michelle Williams and Ryan Gosling. So, yeah we could always, that, well, yeah. We can't cover that. But if we did, like, a, you know, a thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, AJ sucks.
AJ sucks. So
and he tries to apologize immediately.
Tries to apologize, and she's just like over him. And he's yeah. like, I know the class was really, really harsh. And she's like, she mocks him or mocks the class because they said, I concur. They're like, I concur. And she's like, I concur.
Yeah.
And she is just like, you don't know me. Like, you're being insensitive. You know, I came here for the real college experience, and you're so stuck in your iBook that you don't even know what the college experience is. You don't even know what fun is. And he's like, can we start over?
I don't understand how he has such a, like, change of tune immediately. Like, this is the part of the episode that really kind of ticked me off, is, like, mm-hmm. it's like they were trying to do character progression that was supposed to happen over, like, three episodes in one episode.
I think
AJ
that maybe
flips the switch immediately.
Yeah, I think that maybe, like, he made those comments about Little Women to be a dick, but he didn't think that everybody in the class was going to drag her too. Like, I don't think that he, like, really thought that it was going to be, like, a firing range against Joey.
See, I thought he knew exactly what he was doing when he
maybe,
did it.
Maybe. I mean, but why else? Like, how, why would else he would he feel
I just don't know why he has such, like, animosity towards Joey. Like, he's just fucking
a sour grape.
He is.
He's a sour grape.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we get Dawson is back in the theater. And they're watching a film, and everybody's really into it. It's like the opposite of how it was when
riveted.
Dawson. Yeah. And, like, people were, like, whispering, like, this film's on another level. Like, it's incredible.
They,
who
like, really
this?
Hit us over the head with this.
Yeah. It's like, and then the ends, and Nikki stands up, and she's getting a standing ovation. Oh, innovative. Never seen before.
Ridiculous.
And he waits. He, like, stays back, and he meets Nikki at the vending machines. She's trying to get some M&Ms, and she was like, that was, like, so stressful. And he's like, why was it stressful? It was such a love fest.
What is the matter with you, Dawson? I could have punched him. Like, first of all, he's a little negative fucking whiny baby when he gets critiques. And then he seeks out Nikki not to congratulate her, but to be like, oh, why are you so fucking you just rubbed it in my face now. Like, bitch, leave her the fuck alone.
He's like, why didn't you tell me that you were a film student? It's like, because I'm not like you, Dawson. I don't say, hi, my name is Dawson. I'm a whiny bitch and I'm a filmmaker.
And my
favorite director is Spielberg. Like, not everybody like introduces themselves and gives them like the person that they introduce your full bio in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's absolutely ridiculous.
She's like
he's
Yeah, she's so jealous.
She says if it was the other way around, that she'd enjoy his success. And she does, like, I think this is the moment, and this is why I really like Nikki, is because she realizes that, like, she was a little bit harsh with him to begin with, and she wants to start over. She says constructive criticism. Yeah, and she, and I like this. See, as much as Dawson can't fucking handle any constructive criticism, she welcomes it. She says, I want constructive criticism only.
Yeah, tell me what you think. He said, I thought technically it was accomplished.
What a dick thing to say. Like, he can't even say what, because we all know he loved it based on his own face, you know? Mm-hmm. But he can't even say that because he's so fucking petty.
Yeah. So, exactly. And he's, like, sour that she never said that she was entering the film festival. She's sour that she got a standing ovation.
Yes.
And, I don't know. Yeah, he's being a whiny baby. He's doing what he's doing best. He doesn't like it that somebody else did much better than him.
Yeah.
It's clear that her film was much more successful than his.
Oh, yeah.
For multiple reasons.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, okay, so they're going to attempt to start over. This is when, he does ask her, like, why didn't you tell me you were in the festival? And she's like, I'm not like you. I could get hurt leading with my chin, which, like you said, Dawson wears his emotions all over his face, all over his sleeves, whatever you want to say. She's a little bit more like keeps her cards close to the chest. Like, and you can't really blame her for wanting to do that, you know?
Yeah, it's safer. It's safer that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now we're back to Andy, and she's out getting, I don't know, coffee, lunch, whatever, with Fran.
I love this scene. This is my favorite scene, of the episode.
Yeah.
She's talking to Fran about her mom, and she goes, I want to write an essay about my mom, for my application. And because the application is who's the one person that influenced you the most and why? And I love that Fran says, that is a great idea. It might help you organize your thoughts about her.
Yeah. And I think that's very true. Like, writing can be very therapeutic. So I think that, like, if Andy hasn't already, like, who knows, she might keep a journal or something like that. But, like, I think it's really a smart move to put those thoughts on paper. And not only that, but when it, and I hate looking at it this way, but colleges want things that differentiate you from other people.
Right.
And they want to see like how that,
you face adversity as well.
Exactly. And she's faced a lot of challenges and adversity. And so, like, to be able to put that out there and really express those feelings and talk about it and have a different story or something that makes you unique, makes you stand out, that's going to help.
Yeah. Andy also tells a story about how one day she found her mom out in the creek and she was literally standing in the water and she found her mom and her mom just looked at her with like this blank stare. She was like soaking wet and it looked like she didn't know where she was, who she was, what she was doing there. And it was like a very sobering moment for Andy. It was a very traumatizing moment for Andy as well, because it made her probably realize that her mom was in a much worse situation than she could have imagined at that point.
Yeah. This was really sad. Like, I felt like I really appreciate the show for not just moving forward and having the characters forget the past. Like,
right.
This is just to bring us back to solid ground, to remind us who Andy is as a character, to remind us of her past and why she does what she does. And, like, this episode, to me, was a great showing for Andy because it feels like Andy. Unlike the stuff that we complained about earlier in the season, how unlike Andy was acting, this is true to who she is. And I love that she meets this Fran character who gives her, like, the motherly advice that she is missing, honestly.
Yeah.
She gets the, I love her advice. So her, Fran's advice is always wear sensible shoes. I got you, Fran. I 100% always abide by that rule.
Right, because if your feet are killing you, then you can't think straight. That's
definitely true.
Yes.
Let yourself off the hook for things you can't control. Okay, we're all still working on this, right?
Like, I mean, of course we are. We're all still working on it.
I am guilty of not following this advice. But the way Fran says it is like, you know what? You're right. There's only so much in your life you have control over. And certain things you have to just let go of and be like, I can only control myself. I cannot control others. I can't determine how everything in the world is going to go. Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah, Fran says just because your mother couldn't cope with your brother's death doesn't mean that you have to beat yourself up for making peace with it or starting to make peace with it.
Yeah.
Andy says maybe when your mom starts to lose her mind, you sort of do too as a way to try to understand what she's going through. And I just think that this scene is just so good. It's season two Andy through and through.
Yeah, it is. And I like that they bring it back there because I think at this moment in Andy's life, right, she's getting ready to go to college. She's applying to colleges. She's thinking about her future. It's only natural that she would be thinking about those things. And so I love this. I love Fran as like a one episode character. Oh, I think that and she is exactly who Andy needed to meet on this trip. And I love, we'll get to it later, but what Andy says.
Oh my God. I highlighted it. It's so good.
Yeah.
I like the scene coming up. You're probably like, this douchebag is trying to like butter her up. I love it. AJ brings Joey to this locked rare book and manuscript library. And she's like, are we supposed to be here? And he's like, what are you? The library police? It's like,
oh, fucking dick. Okay. Just whatever, bro.
So he shows her the original first half, first volume book of Little Women. And evidently, it's
Louisa May Alcott. Yeah.
Yeah, her very own copy. And Joey gets to hold the book in her own hands. And she shows him her favorite part. And they read the book together. And it's a nice little moment. And she explains that her mom used to read this book to her. It was her mom's favorite book, and that's why she's named Josephine after the character Joe. And I love this. So AJ says, so this book is like your friend. It's like a friend. And she goes, yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
Okay. I appreciate that he is taking this step. Like, he's trying to make amends. He's trying to, like, you know, make up for him being a dick, right? Like, I appreciate that.
Right.
I feel like it's a little, like, quick, in my opinion.
I have a question. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a quick story.
Okay.
So there was this girl that found herself in a situation where she was with this guy who was a big dick all the time and, like, yells at her and was, like, really, really, like, mean to her. Okay.
Okay.
So then she expresses that her favorite thing in the world is books and libraries, right? And he brings her to this library within his home that is big and grand, and it's her favorite thing in the world. And she finally feels like she's in a safe place and she's happy. And then all of a sudden, they start dancing around singing teacups and they fall in love. And it's one of America's biggest love stories.
Oh, this is Beauty and the Beast. It took me, like, almost the entire description to figure out what the fuck you were talking about.
People love this life, this story.
But and here's the thing is, at least during Beauty and the Beast, it takes longer than fucking 5 seconds. Like, my problem isn't the fact that this is all happening. Like, it's a sweet scene. Yes, agree. Mm-hmm. 100%. Very sweet scene. I just feel like they're pushing the Joey AJ narrative so hard for people that literally just met. Like, we know Joey. Joey is not an open book. Joey keeps things very close to her. She's afraid of getting hurt. She has, like, abandonment issues, right? We know all this to be true. But
that's Joey in Cape Side.
This is a magical new Joey.
No, I'm saying, like, in Cambridge, she can be whoever she wants to be. She's saying that the world is open to her outside of Cape Side.
Yeah, I guess if you want to look at it with the lens of, like, well, she said she was going on an adventure, so she's, like, leaning in, I guess. Yeah, leaning it just hard. It felt like they were, like, pushing it so
hard. Yeah, AJ is saying, I can show you the world. Shining.
Oh, fucking A. Shining, shimmering, splendid.
Oh, my God. Nasty. Yeah. You're so nasty.
And then we find out, this fucking asshole, this fucking hypocrite.
My favorite book is Language of the Wardrobe. I love Narnia.
Fucking hypocrite, bitch. A hypocrite is she what I have to say about that. She says
it's infantile.
Yeah. He's a dick. He makes fun of her for Little Women, and your favorite book is fucking Narnia, bitch. The fucking magical land where a lion talks. Fuck off, AJ. I mean, I love Narnia. Don't get me wrong, but I don't shit on Little Women.
I've never been to Narnia.
Oh my, you should read it. It's very good. You wouldn't like it, but it is good.
Old? Too old for Narnia?
Not that you're too old for Narnia. I just don't think, you're not like a fantasy person, so that's why I don't, right? Do you read you read like Harry Potter, but like, do you like fantasy genres?
No, I kind of like it when people murder other people more.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, we'll dig into that later.
Thrillers.
This is very not a nice thing to say when you're about to come to my house, is that you like to see things where people get murdered.
We've already hung out like 50,000 times.
I know. If you haven't murdered me by now, it's probably not going to happen.
So he says, like all the best things in life, Narnia is simple, sweet, and magical. Joey is simple. She's calling him Joey simple.
I wouldn't like to be called fucking simple.
Yeah, that's not very nice. So we have Jack, and Jack arrives at a gay bar.
Oh,
and
yeah.
People are already all over him, and he goes to the bar, and like some like gross, ugly, short dude is like, I want to get you a beer. And he starts hitting on him. And
forward.
Yeah. Do you see Jack? Jack is hot. Who are you to hit on Jack? Step away, little gremlin. Step away.
Yeah. He was super forward. And yeah, like he had to know that Jack was like really young. And
he was you look naive and young and cute. Yeah, like, and this is not your spot. Let's get out of here. No.
Gross, I love dude. Jack protecting his peace and fucking sprinting the fuck out.
He's like, nope. This is too much.
Yeah.
No. I hated that guy. He
was the worst. He was the worst. Jack made a good decision by getting the fuck out. I think he was overwhelmed.
I feel bad that that's like his first interaction. Like I was like happy for him to like go out and about.
It was too much too soon. And I think it was made worse by the fact that like he didn't have a buddy. Like he didn't have a wingman or wingwoman or like someone to like be there with him and give him like moral support, you know?
You know who needs to be there?
Who?
Jennifer.
Oh, Jennifer would make a perfect wing woman in a gay bar.
Jennifer. Have you been to the gay club tonight? Oh,
God. Can you imagine Graham saying that?
Graham should go to the gay club with Jack.
That would be fun.
Jacques,
what are you, Jacques? So we're
hello,
back.
Young sir. Do not hit on young Jack.
Where are all of your clothes, mister? So
now there's like an award show for crappy student films.
What? Oh, yes. We're like, it's not Sundance, but whatever this is, there is an award. And these random people win. We don't know them.
Yeah, Nikki doesn't win. Snubbed. She gets snubbed. Bullshit.
Do you think she got snubbed because she's the woman? That's what
I think
thought.
That she got snubbed or because she's a woman. And I think she got snubbed because she's a woman of color. I think it's both.
I agree.
And she storms off and Dawson follows her. And he's like, you got robbed. Like, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just want to be alone. I'm really upset. And he's like, why are you so upset? And she's like, because I failed. And he's like, no, I failed. You didn't fail. Like,
yeah, because
they
failed you. We spent too much time talking about Nikki, and we need to turn this back around, and we need to talk about me again.
Yeah. No, true. But he's like, I have to dig deeper and reveal myself more in my work. And you learn that film festivals don't reward the meritorious. I think that film festivals are racist and sexist. That's what I think.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I just think, like, the way Dawson does it is so annoying because he's just like, oh, but more about me. And Dawson says, like, oh, I saw them all. Yours was the best. And Nikki says that, like, you know, I still want to win. Like, even though I know it was good, like, I still wanted to win. And he does say something really nice here. I have to give him credit. He says that her film was inspired, and it reminded him why he got into films, and it's to reach people, to, you know, to grab people, to get them to them emotionally, you know?
Yes.
You know, so that was a nice thing
to say. Yeah, and he said, you did that. You made them laugh. You moved them. And basically she inspires him, and he's not going to stop until he reaches his goal to be as good as Nikki of a filmmaker, which will never happen.
Good luck, Dawson.
Yeah. Yeah, Dawson. If Dawson makes one good movie ever, I will be shocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shocked.
Yeah. So now we are back with the whole group here. So we have Dawson and Andy meeting back up at the train station. And I love this. Andy says she had a chance encounter that yielded clarity. And he says, oh yeah, I got what I came for too. And I love this. Andy, like, what Andy is saying is perfect, not only for her character to learn, mm-hmm. but like a really good life lesson in general, where like,
this is the thing that I struggle kind of most with in my life.
Oh, I do the same thing. It's basically like you spend way too much time planning your future and like thinking about what your future should be that you miss the moments in the present. You miss the serendipitous moments.
Yeah, I think even in the present, like, I think that sometimes I find myself living something and be like, well, it's not as good as it could be, or like it should be this way. And I'm missing the good spots. I think
you're setting it up for disappointment.
Yeah. I loved this, and I think that this was a very good scene with Andy. I loved Andy in this episode. I'm so glad that we get Andy back.
She was my I think she's like MVP of this episode. Like, she was my favorite plot line to watch of all.
Me
of them.
Too. I loved her with Fran, and I liked her epiphany. Yeah. So it was great. We get Jack on the train, and some dude sits down and
tell me your thoughts immediately when you like when he was hot. Like walking by.
Hot. Hello, Ethan. Yeah. Love the name, by the way.
Yeah. Ethan, very hot guy name.
You are worthy of my Jack. Yeah. You may speak and sit next to Jack, Ethan. I love Ethan. I want Ethan to be on my team. I'm 100% pro Ethan. So hot guy Ethan sits down and he's like, can you wake me up when we get to Cape Side?
Yeah. Okay. Here's my other like,
don't gripe on Ethan. Shut your mouth right now. You can't say one bad thing.
Here's what I will say.
And don't say a thing about Nikki either. No. No. No, I do not allow this slander in my house.
Here is the situation.
No, I don't even want you to say
I'm not going
to
say anything negative about them, about Nikki nor Ethan.
Going to Cape Side.
Yes, my concern is like, oh, we magically get two new characters both on the train to Cape Side.
You're
both
lame.
Meeting.
We need this. Do you know how desperate? I am thirsty, Jessica. I am thirsty. I am parched. For new characters. I need Nikki. I need Ethan. Don't
but, like,
take
to have
away
them
from
both
me.
Coming into the I same episode, like,
oh,
we
randomly are on a train to
Cape Side.
I don't care. I am thirsty, Jessica. My throat is dry.
She's parched, people. She's parched.
I need these people.
She can't stand the cascading bangs no longer.
No, we need fresh meat. Enough. And Ethan and Nikki are what we need. So I don't even know a thing about Ethan.
No, well, the only thing we know about Ethan, and this is how Jack discovers he's gay, is he says he recently went through a breakup. He says that it was a 2-year-long relationship, and he was like,
we love people that can hold a long relationship.
And he can. And so we find out that he's just off of a recent breakup and he needs to go home and get some soup or whatever the fuck.
He's like, I need to go home and I miss my parents and I need like my bed and I need soup.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, Ethan. And, like, yes, me too.
And Ethan immediately is like, oh, what? Did I get under your radar? And then they like get into a conversation about like whether or not people can tell. And he says that Jack looks like he says it's obvious in a Babe in the Woods newbie way.
Yeah, like literally
destined for heartbreak.
Yeah. Jack's like a little Bambi.
Yeah. And that Jack is like obviously into Ethan.
And
like,
you know what? He's on. I know. And you know what this means?
What?
You are a Babe in the Woods destined for heartbreak. Ethan's going to break my little Jack's heart. But I don't fucking care because he's hot as hell.
He's hot. Yeah, he is.
He's hot.
He's the best looking character on the show right now.
Yeah. I mean, Jack's good looking, but Ethan.
Ethan's better looking.
Ethan?
Yeah.
Oh, and the name. I love that name. That's my second favorite name for boys.
What is like a hot guy name? Is Ethan a hot guy name? Ethan's a hot guy name. What's another hot guy name?
That's it. It's just Ethan.
That's it. For like a solid minute. That's it. That's the only one.
That's it.
And then we find out Nikki is, of course, Principal Green's daughter, and her parents got divorced.
Oh, my God. I screamed when I heard this. I was feeling it. I was like, this is exactly what I want.
So I need to get your predictions here because, like, obviously we know Ethan and Jack are destined to be together.
I would love if Nikki and Dawson are a thing.
Okay, so do you think that's going to happen is my question.
Yeah, I think so. I love it.
She got a little bit, like, flirty with him when she was like, oh, can't you handle a little competition, Dawson?
There is nothing that I would like more than a Nikki-Dawson relationship.
Okay.
I am very excited about this prospect.
Because she's
going to
give – because here's the thing. Joey is like, oh, Dawson, your films are so great. Nikki's going to be like, nope, here's what you need to edit out. Here's what you need to do. She's actually going to
give him some
direction.
Criticism.
Yeah.
Pull him away from Joey. Let Joey, like, futz around with AJ for 2 episodes and then, like, ultimately go to Pacey. And distract. I am very excited about Nikki in this show. I think it's great. I love how ambitious she is. I love that she's a strong character. I love that she's giving some fresh vibe in the show. I'm extremely excited. I love that she's Principal Green's daughter. So exciting. Like, I don't know. Like,
because we didn't have any connections to Principal Green before. And so to have, like, a family member now is pretty fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. And it's, you know what? It's, like, true teen drama, like, you know, chicken soup for the soul.
Like,
you know what I mean?
I am excited to get 2 new characters. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to give off the wrong impression. I'm excited to have 2 new characters. I just think it's, like, so far-fetched the way they set
it
up.
I don't care. I really don't care.
You're like, fine, give it all to me.
Yeah, like, I will take scraps at this point. Are you kidding me? I will take scraps on the ground.
In one episode, we got, like, 3 potential new romances.
Do you want to hear something insane? Episode. Pilot episode, we got 5 new characters, 10 new characters in the first episode.
Yeah. You know what? Because it's a pilot of a show.
I'm just saying.
Who are you and what are you talking? What are you even talking about right now? I don't know. You're like, guess what? In the first episode of the show, we met all the characters. Like, which
exactly.
I know.
We got, like, a bunch of characters. So then what's the difference? We got, like, a bunch of characters
in
this
single episode to set up 3 possible romances.
With it not being a pilot episode.
That's
like
what
maybe
you're like, what, the pilot?
Or, like, in the first episode of the season, typically you get, like, a couple new characters.
Yeah.
Especially
we're midway
in high school
through
show.
Season 3 and we get
it's like
3 randos.
Episode 10 of season 3. We're, like, all the new characters. I love it. I'm so excited.
I'm not against it. But we, so meanwhile, right, so Joey is saying goodbye to AJ. Apparently they stayed up like all night and he talked about Ulysses for 8 hours. Fucking stab me in the eyes. I don't want to fucking listen to that.
Yeah, this is boring. Boring conversations. Yeah. And he goes, like, what are you passionate about? And she's like, I don't know. And she's like, I wish I did know, because the past few years of my life, I've been focused on a guy. And now we're not together. And then he talks about some, like, math shit. I'm like,
he,
no.
He asks, oh, do you know what a manifold is? Bitch, no one knows what the fuck you're talking about. He talks about math for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah,
all he needs to say is, oh, sometimes you need to, like, look at something from farther away to understand what it was. Bitch, you could have said that instead of being, like, a fucking smarty-farty fucking pants. Like, oh, do you know what a manifold is? Like, bitch, nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about. This is why I don't like AJ. This shit.
It's just like, yeah.
He makes me so mad.
He's kind of pretentious.
He's extremely pretentious. I bet you he's that guy who's like, oh, did you know I go to Harvard? Like, in the beginning of every conversation he's in.
Yeah, I went to Harvard.
Oh, my God, I can't.
So he's like, can I have your number? And she writes her number on his hand with a pen because they don't have paper.
They're so awkward.
And then they, like, shake, hold hands. They're like,
And it's the same. It's like her right hand and his left hand. It's fucking weird. And they're so awkward. And then on top of that, then it can't get more awkward. You think it can't. But it can, because they get on the train. Nikki and Joey meet, which is awkward. And then Dawson is like, oh, who's that? And Joey's like, my roommate. And then Dawson, like, stares after AJ like, fuck you, bro. Fuck you.
I would say, excuse me, Dawson, revert your attention back to the angel, Nikki, and don't even look at Joey. I don't even want to see it.
No.
So then we get Joey and Dawson back in the bedroom together.
Of course.
Yes. And they talk about how the prospect of college seems a lot bigger. And she's like, well, do you think it's like the light at the end of the tunnel? Or do you think that, like, it's a big thing to, like, look to or whatever. And he says, I don't know, this is going to take some time getting used to. And he's feeling, he left this weekend. She left this weekend feeling, like, energized and excited.
Yeah.
He left this weekend feeling discouraged.
Yeah, he says that, like, he sees the room as, like, feeling safe. Like, he sees his room as safe. And she sees the room as small, because now she's had a glimpse at what the world is and what the world can be.
Isn't this a very, very interesting, like, metaphor?
Yeah. And I think it's great for Joey's character in general, right? We've always said, like, why didn't she go to Paris? Like, we wanted her to be at a Cape Side. We want her to go and learn that Dawson is not the only fucking person on this earth. Mm-hmm. And so, like, having her experience that, even if it's fucking AJ, like, is great. And I think Dawson sees the exact opposite, because he got fucking raked over the coals for his shitty movie. That he's like, I want the comforts of home. I'm not ready to leave yet.
Yes. I thought it was very interesting how Joey decides at that moment she was going to leave while Dawson stays in his safe room.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do we think this means?
I mean, I think this is a sign of maturity for Joey. Like, and I think it's a sign of, like, Dawson isn't quite there yet. Dawson has always had his, like, head in the clouds, right? He's a dreamer. He's not a realist. And so he got smacked with a big old fat dose of reality right in his fucking face. And, like, he didn't fucking like it. And now he has to, like, he's gonna incubate for a couple another years until he's ready to go to college.
He does have two more.
They're juniors.
He has, like, a year and a half left. Yeah. Like, he has... Yeah. Time. However, I think that this is bodes well. Like, I think that this also shows that Joey is outgrowing her dependency on Dawson.
Yeah, exactly. And she, guess what? She got through a whole weekend. She spent a ton of time with a person she didn't even know before that weekend, even if it is AJ, right? Like, the fact that she could spend all that time and feel comfortable enough opening up to a person other than Dawson is a good sign for Joey.
It is a good sign.
So I liked this episode. Don't get me wrong. I love this episode. I just think some of the things that happened in it were like, what the fuck kind of shit is, like, this is so quick.
I don't know. Like, I think that I'm just like, I don't know if I was like excited that we were in college. I don't know.
You've also seen like characters. So many teen dramas and stuff that like this is totally just normal behavior for a teen drama too. You know?
Well, that's what it like. I don't get like so like wrapped up in the like, is this realistic? Because it's like, I don't want my teen dramas to be realistic. Do you think that I want to see my teens on the computer playing RuneScape and like eating like Doritos at 3 a.m? Like, no. Like, I don't want to see these people like on AIM fighting with their friends over whatever. Like,
this is fair.
I don't want to see realistic. I want to see drama. I want my characters to fall in love. I want them to meet new people. I want them to meet a guy on a bus and fall in love with the hot guy.
I mean, it's fair. That's fair. So, next episode, the name, episode 11, Barefoot at Cape Fest. Cape Fest.
Are you kidding me? This is like a Woodstock, like, Burning Man situation?
I mean, that's the name of the episode. I'll double check
Jessica,
it.
That's what I wrote down. Yeah, I do not have any interest in watching these people at Burning Man, that's for sure.
Well, that's what the name is, so there you go.
No, don't be barefoot. Like, do you know
germs?
Like, germs, glass, metal pieces?
Can't do it. Yeah,
just put on a sensible shoe, a la Fran Boyd.
Take Fran's advice. Sensible shoes only.
Yeah.
Should we get into
feedback?
Some feedback, yeah.
Yeah.
Dirtbag Kelly wrote in.
Oh, you're going to read.
Oh, you can read it. Go ahead and read it.
I'm starting with an email from Stefan.
Oh, please do.
And then you can read an email from the DBK.
Can we please start calling him the DBK? Only if he allows it. Kelly, let us know. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Hello from the airport at 5:30 a.m. Insane. It is very early. I've been waiting almost a whole season to explore Jack's dating life. Is waiting almost a whole season to explore Jack's dating life the smart move? I think now is a better time than ever. That's what I have to say to that.
I am happy that we waited until we got a new showrunner to explore it, because I feel like they're more graceful and tactful about it than the old showrunner would have been. Yeah. As for like waiting, I also think it's very realistic, because Jack is just came out of the closet. He's in a small town. And he's inexperienced. So, like, I imagine it would take time. Yeah. And it would take him time to feel comfortable to do anything. So, I don't mind the wait, honestly.
Yeah. Stefan
says,
sometimes
I don't want to wait, but I liked waiting in this situation.
Yeah. Stefan says, I can see arguments for letting him be more comfortable with himself first, but I can only also understand him diving in. For me, I feel as though, great point, really don't want to see the old showrunner handle that.
Yeah.
But also, I think that, I mean, they don't live in Philadelphia. They don't live in New York. There's not that many. They don't live in Boston. There's not that many people there. And for Jack to just, it's kind of like, because the pool is so limited, I feel as though they would just throw him with the first gay guy that they could find in town. And I don't want that for Jack. I want Jack to like find himself.
I agree.
And like find what he really is interested in.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I don't know what's gonna make Ethan. Well, Ethan, the thing about Ethan, he's like, I'm into sports. Like, I'm like the quote unquote, like, you know, I'm not like, they have in common the fact that they're not the stereotypical.
Yes. He's not feminine at all, right? Like, he says, like, he could pass. What did he say? Like, oh, I slipped under your gaydar is what.
And I think that he also said that he played some sort of a sport.
I believe they talk sports.
That in common.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they're going to have in common, him and Ethan, besides the fact that they're both hot.
And that's all you really need, people.
That's kind of all I care about right now with Ethan.
Shall we get to Dirtbag Kelly, the DBK? He wants you to know that this episode aired December 15th, 1999.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Actually, that's 2 years before my bat mitzvah.
We're getting very close to the end of the 90s in this show.
Wow. And then we just stop.
We have to what stop. Happens? What if we just did that? We would piss so many people off. Like, what if we were just like, well, that's where it ends, guys. Thank you for listening.
And that's all, folks.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he says, so this is what we're doing this episode. The classic name mix up. This happens more than you would think in real life. Interesting.
Does it?
Well, Kelly is saying this. Kelly.
Oh, Kelly.
The name Kelly.
Kelly, that is true.
You know
I
what?
Did.
Yes.
My first interaction with DBK.
We didn't know.
I didn't know.
Here's the thing, Kelly, please write in, and I want to know a story you have about, like, your name being mixed up. Like, I want to hear the funniest story you have, if there is one, and if you are comfortable sharing it. I would love to know. He says, that's all I got this week, ladies. Keep up the good work. Felicity, here we come.
Here we come.
Kelly, Dirtbag Kelly is literally like the conductor on the Felicity train. Like, he
choo-choo
is.
Choo-choo, motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's what he says. He's like, choo-choo, motherfuckers. I got all my friends to vote in that poll.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was definitely
stuff
Kelly's
the ballots.
Move. He did stuff that ballot box. We appreciate it, Kelly. We appreciate how much you care. I love it. I think that's all we have. Is that all we have this week? I think that's all we have this week.
Yeah, like, it's a quiet week, and I oh, gosh, I didn't why, put up I didn't put episode. Up the question thread.
I love it. You just out yourself live on the podcast. You're like, why is it such a quiet week? Oh, I forgot to do the question.
I mean, if you want to talk about outing yourself.
Oh, yeah. Also, here's the thing, people. Okay, I'm coming back from being on vacation. I had a busy week at work. I've had a busy week in my personal life. There's no fashion hour today. I'm really sorry. It was my turn to do fashion hour. I got home late. Sarah said, what do you want to do? And I was like, will people care? Will people notice? I don't know. Let us know. I want to know if people give a shit about fashion hour. Like, I really truly want to know. What? You don't want to know. Don't tell us. Sarah doesn't want to know.
I mean, like, you could tell her or tell us. It's like, what are you going to, like, get rid of? Okay, whatever. But, I mean, honestly, I was just like, let's just be honest with our people. Like, let's, like, be like, yeah, we, like, fucked up. Yeah, you didn't want to say a thing. I said, no, like, let's be honest.
I was just going to, it's not like I was going to lie. I was just going to, like, let it be not there.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. That's like, yeah, like, it's sweeping it under the rug. Like, I don't want to sweep it under the rug.
Well, now we're not. Now we both admitted to two things that we did.
We fucked up. I'm telling you guys.
We fucked up.
We
hope you forgive us. Please find it in your hearts to forgive us. We love you all very much. Please
look how nice my nails look today.
I love how you're doing this for the listeners. They do look good. Tell the listeners what, like, color it is, just so they know what the hell you're talking about.
It's, like, natural. It's, like, a natural. It's, like, a very, like natural.
It's, like, nude, natural,
nude,
light pink.
Nude, light pink. Like, it's sheer. And the shape is giving me life today. I'm just saying.
Anyway, so that's all we have. Very exciting stuff, though, because Sarah's coming to visit me tomorrow. By the time this podcast comes out, she will already be back home. It's going to be amazing. Looking forward to it. We're going to record the Felicity podcast. The question thread is already up for that. So, again, by the time you're listening to this, we would have watched it and recorded and maybe liked it or hated it. We don't know yet. I don't know. Sarah, what else is going on?
I mean, we have our other bonus content for this month. It's Julia Roberts Appreciation Month. We did Runaway Bride, which would be out by the time you're listening. And we earlier this month, we did Notting Hill. You know, we talk about my new favorite website, cinemacats.com. I wonder if there's any Dawson's Creek Cinema Cats. Okay.
Please look it up and let me know, because now I need to know.
I know. Cinemacats.com, run by the great Linda. Please sign up for all of cinemacats.com. Okay.
Sponsored by Cinema Cats.
Cinemacats.com.
Anyway. I think that's all we have.
Just pull the plug.
come back next week. We'll be back for more Dawson's Creek season 3 episode 11. We will talk to you all next time. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye. Just ask.
Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.